Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The text is from John chapter 6. I will not reread it, dear friends in Christ. The crowd asked a simple question. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" That's a nice way of saying, "How did you get here?" Right? They had noticed that there was only one boat. The disciples had gotten into it. Jesus didn't get into it with them. And yet Jesus isn't on the other side of the lake where they are. He's over with the disciples. How did that happen? And of course, if you were here last week or you've been reading your Bible, you know he just kind of walked on the water. The Lord of all creation just decided to turn that which was liquid and you sink into something that's solid as he walked on it and stepped right across, scaring the disciples, well, half to death as they cry out, "It's a ghost," then getting in the boat and calming them down. But you see, how Jesus gets from one place to another is irrelevant. It's as irrelevant as how water, when joined to the promises of God and his word, is holy baptism. That is a life-giving water that washes away your sins. Or how God's promises and the word bring you with this bread and wine today. When we add God's promises to it, Christ's body and blood in with and under the bread and wine. All for the forgiveness of our sins. So may we never forget God is free to do whatever he pleases with his creation. But Jesus, you see, he knows this crowd is not really worried about his mode of transportation. As he responds rather bluntly, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because of the signs, but because you ate your full of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will," and here's a key word to hear today, "give." "The Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." Those who followed Jesus to Capernaum were seeking after the things that moth and rust destroy. They were only interested in having, well, as that false prophet has written, their best life now. And completely misunderstood Moses by giving him credit for God's grace. Isn't that why Moses was kept out of the promised land? For just giving the illusion that he had done something extra, that he was the one providing and not God when he struck the rock twice to provide the water? You see, just by the addition of that one thing, Moses got himself into some serious trouble. And yet, the question that Jesus is dealing with today, it begs us to answer that question individually. Why are you here? Researchers tell us that some come to church out of habit of tradition because it reminds them of their childhood or honors the memory of their loved ones who have passed. Others merely go to keep their parents and/or grandparents off their back. Some come desiring to feel spiritual. Others go to church in an effort to make up for what they did in the past weeks or years. Please understand this thought process. It turns attending the services of God's house into a brief prison sentence, or one might say an earthly purgatory, where you serve your sentence for the sins you've committed. Some come out of selfish want, seeking a support group of accepting friends who will not judge them for their choices. Some are just looking to meet, well, nice people. Others want to be entertained or to do the entertaining. So they look for a church that will provide for their very passions. These are all just seeking Jesus for our bellies. The same as those who traveled across in the boats from Tiberias to seek after Jesus to get some more free bread. For all the times that we have turned going to church into something other than the place where I come to receive God's gifts, His means of grace, His word and His sacraments to deliver us from our sins, from death and from the devil, by being joined to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we must repent, or we risk becoming hard-hearted and dying in our sins, as Jesus becomes then a stumbling block instead of our Savior. He is the one who said, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." Did you notice what happens after He says that? The sinful flesh gets to thinking, and their response is what? What must we do to be doing the works of God? You said give, I know, but what do we have to do? We know anything that's free isn't worth anything. There's always a hook and always a catch. Our sinful nature, it just eats that up. I know we all want that food that doesn't spoil. And just in case you've gotten sidetracked here, like I do from time to time with my ADD or ADD, I'm not talking about Twinkies. From creation, we desire food for life. But since the fall, the food of life has been kept from us, lest we live in death eternally. That's why Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden, to keep them from bringing eternal death on us all. So this is really a discussion, this text, of two kinds of food. Food you work for, and food that is given. Food that perishes, and food that endures to eternal life. You know well about the first kind of food, the food you work for. That's the one. And that's one of the reasons you go to work, to put bread on the table. That food takes us back again to the fall. To the fall of Adam and Eve. From the sweat of your brow you will eat your bread until you die. This wasn't how it was in the beginning. Now we farm uncooperative land, which includes the fickle weather, fighting weeds and bugs, grinding grain, kneading dough, baking bread, sales quotas, production schedules, budget constraints, government regulations, unreliable suppliers, dishonest business partners, lawyers, cranky customers, mean bosses, lazy workers, endless piles of paperwork. Does it sound familiar? The list just goes on and on. And Ecclesiastes calls it vanity. Or we might say futility. Endless chasing after the wind. And as frustrating as this is going to sound, it seems that God planned work to be that way after the fall. He made work a sweaty, frustrating business to teach us that work is not the way to life. It's simply work. You cannot work your way into heaven. You can only work your fingers to the bone or yourself to the grave. And that's not as bad as it sounds, for remember, Jesus doesn't rehab us. Rather, He's in the dying and rising business. We only manage our death much like, well, a hospice house. Knows that it can't cure the patient, but it offers comfort. For there's only one cure, and that's Jesus, and that's the death and resurrection we are joined to. St. Paul puts it this way, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Paul's simply expounding on the words of Jesus, who says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." You learned that in confirmation, remember? Third article of the Apostles' Creed. We confess that third article of the Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, right? And then we say, "I cannot of my own reason or strength believe in God or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit by the gospel has enlightened me, sanctified, and kept me in the one true faith." In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. We confess that's how it works for us, and that's how it works for every other Christian. It's all God's work. Until, of course, we want to take credit. Because Jesus is speaking of a different kind of food. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." This is Jesus' kind of food, eternal food, that which you and I do not work for, but rather are given. It is a free gift. Paul puts it this way in Romans 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus is the one who came down from heaven to give His life for the world. He is the God, He is God's gift, not works. Free gift, undeserved, unmerited, placed into an empty, dead, nothing to offer, receiving hand. We call this grace. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Faith is a gift of God. This is God's work, not our work. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit who works faith through God's means of grace, His very Word and sacraments, where He uses them to join Himself to us. Jesus does promise His food. Food that requires no preservatives, no refrigeration, no artificial flavoring to make it taste sweeter than honey from the comb. This food doesn't spoil. It has no expiration date. This food endures to eternal life. This food preserves you and it preserves me. Imagine that. A food that doesn't spoil and it preserves us to eternal life. Now that's what I call real health food. Sure, we'll spend oodles of money on pills that will fix this or fix that. And I'm not saying don't take your medicines. Please don't hear that. But we all take them thinking that they're going to help us live long, long time. And yet the only food that gives us eternal life is here. At the Lord's table. There, at the baptismal font. And in the hearing of God's Word. Everything else, well, is just, well, that's, how did a pastor put it at a Higher Things gathering a few years ago? He said our refrigerators are just glorified morgues that we put dead things in to keep us alive for a little while, keep them from decaying long enough that we might eat them for a while. The only living thing you consume that will keep you alive is here. Right here in God's house. And what sign does Jesus give you that you should take Him at His word? Imagine that. This is why we don't live by work or by miracles in our faith. Jesus had just fed. The text started with the next day, and the next day was the day after He fed 5,000 with the five loaves and the two fish. Kind of a big miracle, I think. There's leftovers, you know, those kinds of things. Then they're trying to figure out how He got across the water. And I would guess maybe the disciples had shared a little with a few people, but who knows? But now they want another miracle. It's exactly what they did to Moses. That's exactly what we, our sinful flesh, will do to any miracle. I need another one. And another one. And Jesus gives us one. You see, it is His death and His resurrection that is the final miracle for us. And the work of the Holy Spirit drives us to believe in that miracle. For that's how the bread of life is baked, in the fiery furnace of God's wrath against our sins and in the burning heat of God's love to a fallen creation. Jesus endured the cross bearing our sin in order that our food, our manna, that word manna, do you know what it means? It just means, what is it? That's it. That's the Hebrew word for what is it? They had no clue. If you're German, it's was ist das, right? I don't know what other nationalities you want me to speak it in, but it's just what? But He is our only source of eternal life. Jesus says bread, not birthday cake. And I think that's kind of interesting to think about too. It's not something eaten only on a special occasion. It's to be daily. It's to be our regular diet. Jesus is manna for penitent sinners. That is, those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. Here is the food that endures forever. The bread that gives life forever. The drink that quenches your thirst and soothes your parched soul. And it can't be earned. It is simply given. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has given and shed for you. I know that life like ours in the text, is full of all kinds of questions. When did you get here? What must we be doing to do the work of God? Then give us a sign that we may believe. What work do you perform? But there's only one answer. And it's always the answer. Just like a children's message in church or a Sunday school question. It's Jesus. Always Jesus. Our Lord and Savior. In His precious name.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.